Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Vicky Pasha. Vicky, please, first of all, tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Dapper Boy.
Hey, yeah. So I'm in from San Diego right now.
Awesome.
And my role at Dapper Boy is I'm co-founder and CEO. And Dapper Boy, you know, our brand is an all gender size inclusive apparel brand. And our whole mission is to inspire folks to find, you know, authenticity and being their most confident selves in our clothing.
That's amazing. I love that. And tell me a little bit more about your background. I mean, what kind of got you into this space? Wanted to, you know, create an apparel brand that's inclusive this way. And what did you kind of find out there in the market with apparel that currently exists that you felt like was, you know, not meeting people's needs out there in the market already?
Yeah, what's interesting, I have zero fashion background. In fact, if you were to ask my friends from back home if Vicky Pasha was to start a fashion background, they'd probably laugh. And it's because, you know, when I used to shop in the women's department, I always felt frumpy and unseen. It was never for me. You know, it really took me embracing my authentic self, you know, coming out as a lesbian, chopping my hair and particular, and, you know, embracing the men's section, which was a very scary process for me, you know, socially, what were people going to think, and then wearing the clothes. But when I put those clothes on for the first time, it was everything to me. It was exactly who I was. But I realized along the way that those clothes just never fit my body. And so my wife and I decided to do something about it in 2014. We launched our brand on Kickstarter with our very first pair of slim straight jeans at the time. And what's interesting about it is it first started with, you know, women, more maybe masculine presenting like myself. But after launching the brand, we realized that actually this is not a gender thing. This is a body thing. And so I implore you to think about the current shopping situation. You know, you walk into a department store and you have two options, the men's section and the women's section, which are embedded with these societal rules and norms based on your gender. So we're really, you know, working on breaking this binary way of thinking. And we believe it should be based on fit and style and leaving gender out of the equation. So it's been a wild process, and we have people from all walks of life shopping from us, you know, men, trans men, women, you know, our pockets are deep, which is crazy. It shouldn't be revolutionary for women to have deep pockets, but it is these days.
I know.
And,
yeah.
You know, even our button ups have hidden snaps behind the button placket to prevent, you know, the dreaded chest gap you get from both men's and women's clothing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that story. And you may or may not be surprised to hear that almost everybody I have that comes on the podcast, it's kind of the same story. Is like, you know, I was a software developer for 10 years and now I sell cashmere sweaters. It's like, okay, right. Why?
I love it.
All these types of brands are always brought out of like a big why and a big passion. So I always love talking to founders of these types of brands because there's always a very genuine and like real message and like really trying to solve like a personal problem or something that affected them or their partners or something. So I love that backstory. I appreciate you sharing that. And it's actually a pretty common sentiment I hear from people. It's like, I had no reason getting into this business. I learned everything from scratch. It's like, well, that's probably the best because, you know, I think if you come in with like, I think some people can come into businesses with a lot of biases and think like they may already know things and try to like shoehorn that into what you realize along the way is that you actually know nothing. So I think you have a really nuanced perspective there. And I think it's probably was something that, you know, has led to your success. So that's amazing. I love that.
Thank you.
And then, yeah, so I guess I'm curious a little bit about, obviously you started in 2014. What kind of revenue channels did you get into right away? Were you selling online predominantly then? And has that changed at all coming into 2024 post COVID and all those kinds of things? Can you break that down a little bit for me?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, obviously we downsized from a 4-bedroom condo to this 1-bedroom, 600 square foot shack, you know, back in 2015 to make this dream happen. My wife was working full time. I was, you know, taking on Dapper Boy, working part-time gigs, leaving my professional career, you know, as an executive. And it was crazy. So without capital, we had to figure out how to bootstrap this brand. And so, and this is like kind of how we were able to generate, you know, in the last 4 years, we've done just under $4 million bootstrapped.
It's amazing.
And that's pretty significant considering that only 1.7% of women-owned businesses are hitting over $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and we didn't know at that time, you know, that I should have been talking to investors a long time ago, but not coming from money, you know, I never knew what would qualify me for these conversations.
Right.
So anyway, going back to the bootstrapping, how we did it was we would get samples made and we would have our friends, you know, literally wear them and do photo shoots. And then we make some really crazy fun content, you know, just relating to people and connecting with folks. And it just hit right. And they resonated with it. And we would say, hey, hey, you know, let's say the first product was a button up. It was one color. And we would launch it and say, hey, guys, you got 3 weeks to get in on this campaign. We're going to give you up to, you know, 20 to 30% off for 3 weeks only. Get in on it now. So we were creating and training our customers, you know, and they were having FOMO because they know we would sell out of product and they got this special discount for, you know, buying in on the campaign. So what we would do is, you know, collect the funds after those 3 weeks, go to the manufacturer. Okay, now we got a purchase order and people were trained to wait 6 to 12 weeks. And that's how we were able to generate. We were just launching more and more products, more and more colorways as the years went on to, you know, we were doing $1 million still with just my wife and myself and two part-time employees. Yes, that was never meant to be a long-term thing. And the challenges was definitely when COVID hit for, you know, us and so many other people, when you're backed up in campaigns and these people were just waiting and backed up in five different campaigns, we couldn't ethically launch new products and we didn't have much inventory because we were relying on those campaigns. So we had quite the predicament in 2022 with no new product launches. We ended up selling our home even at that point. And this is all while we were filming for Shark Tank and a documentary called Show Her the Money, all at the same time in this very vulnerable time. But again, like thinking back to our why, which is like our customers and the stories we were hearing about us changing their lives, their confidence. Like we even had a parent reach out to let us know that their 14-year-old daughter was suicidal until she saw a Dapper Boy video ad, realizing that she actually belongs on this earth. You know, like
that's amazing.
That's the kind of impact that weighs heavy on our shoulders. But that's why it was ended up being a no-brainer for us when we were sitting on equity on our home to be able to do that. So of course, challenges, but things are so much different today. It's very exciting times.
Yeah. So are you still predominantly selling online? I mean, something this novel and kind of different. I mean, I can see it being kind of hard to find like a brand fit with any kind of like outlet or something like that. I can see that being probably difficult for something that's as unique as this is. So are you still predominantly selling online, still doing those social media campaigns? Is that generally the biggest driver?
It is. Yeah. Cool. We're all online. We have a Shopify store. We are having conversations with retailers right now, but again, it's more like I'm just getting in FaceTime because it's very early still. I don't know if retail, mainstream retail is ready for a brand like ours, but you know, we've come up with some solutions and they're starting to listen. And I think now is our time more than ever. It wasn't even 5 years ago. It is now. There's more and more mainstream companies, you know, claiming to be gender neutral. And it's more like oversized sweatshirts and things like that, which is awesome and cool too. But like we really hone in on fit, you know, and confidence and belonging and fitting in and, you know, those key things there. So it will, you know, eventually I think we'll get there and we're knocking on those doors. But I think also just direct to consumer, we can be very efficient with capital with direct to consumer. Also, we have, you know, customers in other countries. So eventually we'll utilize fulfillment centers in those countries as well and just like multiply our production in those countries too, as we scale.
It's amazing. I love that. And I'm curious, have you kind of, I mean, obviously this is a, I know we talked about it a little bit. It's obviously very wide reaching with like all different kinds of demographics and gender identities and things like that. Has anything kind of surprised you from what you can tell? Obviously something direct to consumer, you get a lot of that awesome data and that direct customer interaction. So have you been surprised with any of your like, you know, customer profiles that have like kind of like came up in a big way buying from you? Or is it pretty much like, you know, in the lane that you were expecting more or less?
Yeah, it wasn't in the lane. So yeah, at first, again, it was like women that look like me, most likely from the LGBTQ community. But at the same time, we haven't even touched the iceberg within that community. 10% of our customers currently identify as male. And what happened was, is like, we were having these, you know, straight cis men coming to us being like, icky, like almost on the DL, you know, like, I've never had a fit like yours. Like, I know you're that lesbian brand. And that's where we were like, no, like, listen, we are proud lesbian owners. Don't get me wrong here, but it's not about that at all. You know, it's about body type. So, you know, as we're thinking about marketing approach and, you know, when we're thinking about our paid ads campaign, we're talking to, you know, really 3 to 4 different customer personas. And what do they want to see? I think that in this world right now, currently, men are not used to hearing the words inclusive, you know, gender, like those things are a little bit triggering for people. And so I think it's just like, how do we communicate, you know, to each of these customer segments so it resonates with them and that they feel comfortable and more confident? So these are things, you know, that we are working on. And we started the brand with saying androgynous jeans. Then it went to, you know, genderless and gender neutral. And it still wasn't hitting until we finally have landed on, you know, all gender, which is just welcoming, you know, for all people. And so, yeah, it's been a work in progress and, you know, we're still in it right now. But again, like when people come to us to let us know how much we've changed their lives and they actually like, get into places, it's a game changer. especially being size inclusive also. And this is another like quick story here. For Shark Tank, when we were going through that process, you know, we actually did a video going to a mainstream store, and I go to the men's section like I normally would before Dapper Boy. And it was just a very awkward, you know, experience going into the fitting room. Like the guy at the fitting, the attendant there was like, hang on a second. He started knocking on all the doors in the fitting rooms, like, are you guys done in there? And he was just trying to get everybody out so that I could enter and be alone in this, you know, this room. So it's like, I still don't fit. And I go into like the plus size section, and I'm the smallest size in the plus size. You know, it's just like, there's nowhere for me to fit. And I think just so many experience that, you know, and that we're solving that problem.
Yeah, it's so true. I think another kind of just like general issue with like more traditional shopping at an outlet store, or like just depending on the store that you're in, is they're all so different. I mean, a small in one store could be like almost a large in a different store, depending on where. I don't want to name names, but I'm sure you could probably I'm thinking from that, like, you know, time where you wanted to be a zero at the specific store. Like that was like the end game, especially for, you know, like young girls at that time. I was coming up with, like, again, I'm not going to name names. I'm sure you know which brands we're talking about. You know, everybody just wanted to be the zero, and all the models were zeros. And like, if you went up to like what probably wasn't even a medium and like a more maybe traditional size store, it was like a 10 or a 12. They were like, how far am I away from like what's ideal here? It's like, it was so unfortunate. I remember having those conversations even at that age with people. I was like, this makes no sense. Like, who's wearing this? Like, hardly anybody. And like, but that was still like, you know, in the minds of a lot of young people, the impressions that they were given to them was like, that's where you wanted to be. And it's just like, it's an impossibility, and it becomes very awkward and difficult. So I absolutely love what you're doing with that. And so how do you kind of equate that to, you know, when you think about your sizing and your manufacturing and creating, you know, different sizes and the way that they're labeled and things like this, since it is like all gender inclusive, how do you kind of figure out the sizing in that way? When you think about like maybe somebody who is a cis man might come around and say, I love the style, I love what like the brand is doing, and I want to support this business, and it just seems like something that would fit for me. How do you kind of equate, like, you know, somebody like that coming in looking at like what's a small, medium, large with a brand like yours? Or how do you kind of grapple with that, I suppose?
Yeah, it was interesting in the beginning to figure that out, because we felt the same way. Women's sizing is so vanity. And yeah, I didn't you're exactly speaking my language when it came to like double zero. I'm like, what does that mean? Like nothing. Nothing. You know, so we actually felt like men's sizing was the easiest to follow. It actually follows that model. And it's like, we have sizes 26 to 52 currently, which is kind of unheard of in mainstream retail to have that large of a size range. Mm-hmm. But it really is a simple like waist measurement. So if you did have to pull out a tape measure, simply like we align with men's fitting the best. But for those of you who are not, you know, familiar with that, it's as easy as like taking out a tape measure and measuring around your waist and being like, okay, well, I fall into this size, you know, it's just easy to follow that way. And then as we grow here, you know, we're working currently, because we know nobody wants to pull out a tape measure. We know that. We're working right now with this company that'll be the first, because we've talked to a lot of these companies in the past, just never worked out. It'll be the first truly genderless like avatar that you choose instead of like a man or a woman. It's really like you'll be able to take a photo of yourself and see exactly how our clothes are going to fit you.
Well, that's
and
super cool.
Even see like a heat map of like, hey, it might be tighter in your butt, you know, or looser here. So like, you might want to try this, and like building this virtual closet that you can share with your friends. So that should be launching, you know, hopefully within this year, actually. We're very close, and it's pretty amazing.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And it's so true though. It's like with men's sizes, I mean, it seems to go along, especially at least with waist sizes. Like it's at least like based in something empirical, you know what I mean? It's like your waist size by inches, your leg length by inches. I mean, so that makes sense that you would go that direction just for maybe like some clarity, at least for men, probably know shopping in the men's section, or anybody should be who is used to shopping in the men's section, you probably at least know like what your waist size is more or less. But even still, like a lot of brands, I mean, like I go in, I buy a 32 at some stores, I'm almost like, I'm like a 36 almost. I don't know like where this huge amount of variability comes in, but that is a really cool thing. I don't think I've ever seen that before on any sites or like any apparel brand. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. You know, I've seen it on like, you know, sunglasses or those glasses sites where you can like say look like on you, or like makeup and stuff like that. But I haven't really seen it in the full wardrobe and what the outfit, like you can create this, you know, look. We're actually going to start phase one with, not necessarily for fit, but like starting it with like a styling tool to show a body, just one body, to see what the clothes, you know, match and, you know, figure out the looks. But it's not based on fit yet. But I figure that's a good way to kind of start introducing this whole like feature to our site. And so that's going to be happening within the next 2 months.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very exciting. And let me just ask you one thing. I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, if you watch my hosted podcast, I always try to ask this question. So obviously, started in 2019, 2014. I've learned a lot since then. I had to make COVID pivots. I'm sure many other pivots along the way as well. If you go back to 2014, thinking about like, you know, the real inception of this brand, even back to like the idea phase, if you go back and give yourself one piece of advice back then, if you were to start over, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
It would be connect early and often. Again, I kick myself sometimes for just like trying to just do it all myself. And maybe it was like a pride thing, but there's like communities out there that are doing the same exact thing. And maybe I could have saved so much time and money if I kind of got out of my own way. And so I would say that from the very beginning. I would also say, especially being new to like the fundraising process, is also getting out of your own way. Like when you are fundraising and asking folks for money, you know, it is not you. You are not asking for money for yourself. You know, you think about your why again and like what you are offering this world, you know? And so that was another big, big thing that I've learned even recently. It's not personal, you know, when it comes to fundraising.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. You're probably not surprised to hear, at least the first part of your answer is something I hear very, very often as an answer to that question, which is, and I think a lot of people can fall into that. I mean, you make this thing from the ground up, you make these big lifestyle changes like you did, downsizing your apartment, even selling your home. I mean, it's everything to you and you know what you have to offer to the world. And it can be kind of nerve-wracking to outsource any part of what is like your baby and your livelihood and the value that you offer to, you know, the people who trust you and your brand to anybody else. So I think it's kind of a natural reaction for, especially for a newer entrepreneur, but that is an answer I get to that a lot. And I think it's really good advice for anybody listening to say like, you know, take your time and be diligent with your relationships, but, you know, just be open-minded to having those relationships and, you know, outsourcing and talking about your brand. You don't always have to like bogart everything, you know?
Right, right.
There's people out there that are really willing to help. And I think that's really good advice. And again, it's one of those things that is fine, like such commonality. I mean, it's somebody who started their brand 2 years ago or somebody who started 30 years ago. And I get that answer from all walks of industries and everything. So I appreciate you sharing that insight. I think it's super important for people to hear not once, but 30 times in 30 different podcasts.
I think it's really important.
So no, it's amazing. I love that. And Vicky, I just want to thank you again for coming on. And I want to just give you a quick opportunity as well, just to, you know, plug your website, your social media pages. Anyway, anybody listens to the podcast and want to maybe connect with you on a, you know, business partnership or maybe just interested in, you know, making a purchase. I'll let everybody know how to stay in touch with you all.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So our website, it's www.dapperboy.com, and Dapperboy is with an I, B-O-I. You know, definitely follow us on Instagram. It's just Dapperboy. And then my wife and I actually recently started an Instagram called Meet the Pashas. And that's really kind of behind the brand. It's our like daily life. Sometimes a little crazy. We have twin six-year-old. It's a wild time. And, you know, how we're going to be the next Levi's of all gender fashion. And then, of course, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. We're very active on there as well. Vicky Pasha. Cool.
Awesome. Vicky, I just want to say thank you again. I just want to wish you the best of luck. Continued success. Keep doing what you're doing. I love what you're doing with this brand. I can see your passion from a mile away. It's amazing. So just keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, look forward to staying in touch and best of luck with everything.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Vicky. Thanks, everybody.